This is a Christian Science extemporaneous prayer treatment. The website is mbeinstitute.org. There are various buttons at the bottom of every page which enable one to find out information about the Institute and the website. There is also a very extensive menu in the top left corner of every page, and the header, which is the top section of every page, includes a variety of links to some of the most popular pages on the website. The topic of this extemporaneous prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute is Guard Thought, Stay on Track. Model is the guide to truth. What are we having as our model? Chapter 14 of the textbook of Christian Science is entitled Recapitulation. That is telling us straight out that the first 13 chapters are summarized in chapter 14. What's the first topic? What is God? That is obviously the most important thing to learn, which of course is an infinite progression striving for concrete being. All we have to be concerned about is the step-by-step progress that is referred to by Isaiah when he says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. What are we trying to get a little of? Mary Baker Eddy tells us straight out, as the introductory quotes to the entire textbook. This is prior to the preface, prior to the table of contents, the text immediately following the title pages themselves. Three quotes. One, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Words of Jesus, quoted by John in the Gospel of John. Second quote, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. The third quote, by Mary Baker Eddy. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Before we read anything out of the textbook, it is a good idea to read those quotes. Look at them seriously, because that really is the guide to anything we read out of the textbook. If we're going to study the definition of God on page 465, if we read seriously, study the value of those quotes prior to even beginning the reading or study of the definition of God on page 465, or the definition of God in the glossary on page 587, or the definition of good also on page 587, or the definition of man on page 591, or the definition of mind on the same page. These are our foundation and a beautiful thing to utilize in building our model. But we must begin at the beginning. Mary Baker Eddy would not have put those three quotes at the beginning of the textbook if she did not think we should utilize that to refresh our thought on what we should be looking for in anything we study out of the textbook, period. What is the truth that Mary Baker Eddy is talking about in the definition of God? Where is our thinking on it? Shakespeare tells us, very important thing to consider. And what happens if we do those two things, searching for the truth and also watching our thinking? Mary Baker Eddy tells us what happens. We will be blessed. Why? Because we are going to have our thought on the laws of the universe. If we do not realize that there are laws of the universe that we must be abiding by if we want to progress, down the path of spirit, then we need to back up and get more foundation to prepare our thought before we begin. The human mind, so-called, does not accept change with a friendly welcome. It rejects it with an angry blockage, for it tries to protect what it has been thinking was correct for a long time. But we're going to change that, because we're going to, first of all, only talk about the truth, and we're going to do it with repetition and with an open thought. And the only way we can do that is to pray for ourselves to know that God is the only captain of the ship. She prefaces the seven synonymous terms for God on page 465 with four very important terms. She says, God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite. And then she names off the seven terms: mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Every other word about God comes from one of those or more of those seven terms. If we want to stick to the truth about God, we must understand that God is at the top. There's no body involved. That's the incorporeal. Divine represents perfect. Supreme, everything is below. And infinite, there is absolutely no way to measure it, because it is not finite. It is the opposite. We have a video and some still shots called How Big is the Problem? It's under topics. It is suggested that one look at that video at least once a month. I won't try to describe it, but it's only 1 minute long. I think it's 56 seconds or something like that. And it will give you a perspective far better than words. And if we think about the message that is in that video and those still shots, then we have no option than to think about the value of having everything in perspective. We will realize the value so that we won't want to have anything that is out of perspective. The professor brought a large white sheet with a little black dot in the middle and hung it up across the viewing area of his class. What do you see? He says. They saw a white sheet. A white sheet. They didn't see the dot. He said, look more carefully. Then they realized there was a black dot. Oh, you want us to focus there? He said, no. I want you to be aware of it. And you have to be aware that that problem has to be solved. And you use the big white sheet as your perspective to see how small that problem is compared to the big picture. But that little problem can prevent you from going forward. So once you know there's a problem, as Mary Baker Eddy advises, get it solved. She says don't even think about going to bed for rest if you've got something that is unsolved that can be solved that particular day. Now, some things may take a process, but you need to get started on solving it, and anything you can possibly solve by the end of the day, you want to do it. We must guard our thought to make sure there is no criticism, antagonism toward anyone about anything. When Jesus was asked, how many times should we forgive someone, by his disciples? They said, seven times? He said, 70 times seven. In other words, forgiveness means that we've condemned. So we have to look about the possibility that we are condemning without any reason. Are we God? God doesn't know anything about condemning. God only knows things about himself. Genesis 1, starting with verse 26, says God made man in his image and likeness. But before it says that, it says, let us make man in our image and likeness. So we have to open the door of consciousness to truth, which is the first quote at the beginning of the textbook. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What are we going to think about something that is not in alignment with God? Are we going to mull it over time and time again? Are we going to take the bull by the horns and immediately recognize that it is not a part of God's universe? So why are we devoting any effort to it, any time, any thought, any speech, any action? Jesus said thinking about something is the same as doing it. Should we maybe take another look at what we're spending time thinking about? Are we thinking only about God and his perfect universe? Frederick L. Rawson, one of the most successful Christian scientists of all time, next to Mary Baker Eddy, said that when we do a treatment to get rid of evil, the first thing we should do is deny that whatever the name is for the problem is not real. He says, say something like this, there is no, and then name the problem. If it's not godlike, it can't be real. It can't be reality. So let's call it out. There is no, whatever the problem is. And have with you the perfect model in thought that you can retrieve it instantly. And you can say, well, what I'm thinking doesn't agree with this perfect model that I have built based on the definition of God in two different places and definition of man, the definition of mind. What I'm doing more aligns with what is evil. Mary Baker Eddy wrote a whole chapter, it's a short one, called Animal Magnetism Unmasked. We must unmask evil if we're going to realize that it is not a person at all. God couldn't make an evil person because God is perfect, perfect good. On page 587, it says the definition of good is God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. No evil in that. Keeping in mind that the only substance is spirit, spirit is flawless. It's transparent and therefore reflective. The only power we have, as Mary Baker Eddy tells us, is the good we do and embody. Now, we're not doing good and embodying good if we're thinking evil about an individual. We cannot possibly think good and evil at the same time, so we better toss out the evil part. Mary Baker Eddy prayed every hour that she was awake to know and to correct anything that was going on in her thought about anyone or anything or any relationship. Everything had to be seeking perfection. And if we seek perfection, we automatically rob and neuter and stop in its tracks an evil. Evil cannot even get started if we look at our thought and make sure there is nothing but good. We can't destroy evil if we attach it to a person, because it's not a person. It is only one's opinion about a person. There was a TV show, and the show was about having a couple in there, or maybe they had two or three in the period of the whole show. But imagine there's one couple, and they were like Mr. Average Citizen. The man was away and worked hard, came home, could have been any kind of a profession, white collar, blue collar, didn't matter. But he worked hard, and when he came home, he was tired. And the wife was home all the day, all the time. She was taking care of the children and being a homemaker. Boy, if you don't think that's a big job, think about all the variables that are involved. It is not only a very important job, but the family is going to be in a real mess if it is not conducted with intelligence and wisdom and knowing and structure and system and love and life, identity. All kinds of qualities need to be expressed in order to be a good homemaker. And of course, we all want to strive, no matter what our task is, to be perfect. So not just to be good, but to be perfect. Be a perfect homemaker. Well, so this TV show, you know, showed the husband and wife as a couple, and then it separated them. You know, they put the, in this particular case, they put the wife in a soundproof room, so she couldn't hear anything the audience said, and the man was out front, and they asked him what he thought of his wife. Now, she was very plain looking. In fact, she was a little plump. He said, "She's the most beautiful person in the world." And the host said, "Tell us why you feel that way." He said, "Well, I leave early in the morning, and I come home late, and I'm really tired. And before I go to work, she has been up before I was, and she prepared breakfast, prepared lunches for the kids and myself, and made sure that we ate breakfast and got us out the door, looking presentable to everyone that happened to see us and whatever our activities were for the day. And I worked hard and I came home. At the end of the day, she was always there with a smile and a wonderful kiss and a hug. Asked me how my day went. She had dinner within a few minutes of being ready to sit down and eat. She says, 'Honey, why don't you go clean up, take a shower, whatever, and we'll all have dinner together.'" So she had everyone in the family in her thought. She was nurturing a home for everyone. How could you ask for anything better than that? I love her. She's beautiful. I'm very lucky to have her. Very lucky to be married to her. And so are our children lucky to have her as a mother. You see, the audience looked at her as a plain woman. But boy, underneath that plain-looking skin, she had the heart of gold. And she had the energy of a horse, a wild horse. She had the intelligence of a thinking person to have everything well organized. There were so many things about her that you could spend an entire prayer treatment just discussing it. But we're not going to do that. We're only pointing out the fact that don't ever think about anyone in a negative way. Because number one, it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do them any good. And it's not the truth about who God created. It's not our job to judge anyone. The only thing we want to be judging is whether or not we are striving our best to be reflecting the perfection of how it states in Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 26, that God made us. That is our only thing we should be judging or evaluating or comparing. Our own performance against perfection. And we should be constantly striving to raise the bar. Never lower it. Only raise it. As a homemaker, we also have to make sure that there can't be any erroneous thought that can interfere with us being productive in everything we do. That's a big ticket item to think about. Nothing can interfere with anything we do. Why? Because we are striving to reflect the perfection of God. And the way it states that he made man in his image and likeness. We don't want to do anything that's going to upset that viewpoint. Because that's the way it's stated in the very first chapter of Genesis. So our model needs to be built on the seven synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Mind is anything to do with thinking. Spirit is anything to do with substance. Soul is anything to do with identification. Principle is anything to do with structure and system. Life is expressing the qualities of God. Truth is staying on track. And love is just like you would think of a mother as nurturing what needs to be nurtured to bring it up to the par of what and where it should be. So that's God in a nutshell. Are we thinking about ourselves and everyone else in that way? Mary Baker Eddy thought it was so important that she stopped every hour to make sure that's exactly the way she was thinking about everyone. And she was brutally attacked by her own church, the board of directors. She was attacked by her own family. They sided with the ones that wanted to get rid of her because they thought they were going to get something for nothing. Universal thought is something that has to be realized to be covered in our prayer treatments. It is something that is trying to make itself known to the unwary. Are we going to be unwary? Are we going to let it get its foot in the door of our consciousness? Verse 26 says, "And God said, let us." Are we going to open up our door of consciousness and let us be made in God's image and likeness? How far are we going to go with this model? Are we going to mentally build a perfect model and then do nothing with it? Or are we going to let it be our guide every time there's a suggestion to stray off of the path of truth? Do we want any deviation from that solid, absolute path of truth? We better say no. Otherwise, we invite every malady you can think of into our home. We have innumerable reasons to be grateful. All of the people that have studied seriously Christian Science and also the leaders that are noted in the Bible, both the Old and New Testament, gave us tools that they didn't have. They were cutting down the trees and trying to make their way through the forest. But we have quite a bit of details on their experiences. And unfortunately, there's a lot of the detail that was left out of the King James Version of the Bible. But they had nothing back in the days of the early records in the Bible. So we have a lot of tools available to us. We have a recommended plan on how you can heal anything. But it's not a magic formula. You have to, first of all, realize that you need to recognize that you're not making the progress that you would like to make in your life. So you know there has to be some changes made. Are we at that door where we're willing to open our consciousness and see what is really available out there? We have to take it step by step, because a thought that has been inundated with false information takes a conversion, a major transformation, and the so-called human brain is not willing to change fast. So we have to use our toolbox, including patience, perseverance. We have to utilize our toolbox so that we are able to open that door. If one doesn't have enough confidence in what I'm talking about, there's 101 pages at the end of the textbook called Fruitage. And boy, if that doesn't wake someone up, wake everyone up. Let us be awakened. There is nothing passive about the laws of God. They are active all the time, whether we are policing our thought or not, whether we have built a model or not. The laws of God are always operating. Do we want to have the benefit? Then we have to participate. God gives us the chalk, and we have the opportunity to be reflecting God's intelligence, God's wisdom, God's knowing. Everything about God is an open door for us to reflect. He doesn't give it away to anyone. It is there for anyone to receive the benefit that wants to make the effort. What a beautiful opportunity we have to be able to utilize the tools we have available and study in an organized way. Christian Science teaches us to be alert to the needs of others. And in our section on Heal Everything, we give you specific instructions, as noted, and it includes doing things you probably never dreamed of doing, but we know that they are effective. The procedure we've provided is very effective, but you have to be ready to begin. And certainly one of those things is realizing that there, to belief, seems to be a lot of problems. So we have to open our door to the true history, which is in Genesis chapter 1 up through verse 3 of chapter 2. That's the real history of creation. Now, they didn't let all of it be printed. For example, John asked Jesus, I believe he was on the island of Patmos when he asked this, because Jesus, as you will find from Dr. Robert C. Putnam, his doctorate was in chemistry, but he was a student of Bliss Knapp. Bliss Knapp was under Mary Baker Eddy's tutelage from the time he was about 6 or 7 or 8 years old. So you can't get any better training than what he had directly from Mary Baker Eddy. So Dr. Putnam had as good as you can get next to Mary Baker Eddy for an instructor. He provides the quotes in the Bible that support the fact that after his ascension, Jesus came back to the island of Patmos and met with John to dictate the book of Revelation. And John asked these specific questions. Is there a material body? And is there a material universe? Is there a material body? Is that a revolutionary question or what? Is there a material universe? Read it from our website. Very, very interesting. We are very willing to discuss anything that is on the website or anything in these prayer treatments with anyone that is serious. And if you click contact, and the button is at the bottom of every page in the footer, as well as in the menu, it will tell you exactly what to do to make contact with us. Just remember, we only have to take one step at a time, but it will be an important one. Could be very important for your future, and it certainly will be an important thing to help rid the universe of the belief of evil. One on God's side is a majority. Are we going to be a little raindrop that is going to be with the majority? We can. Let's do it. One more tidbit. Chapter 12, is on Christian Science practice. Mary Baker Eddy begins with the story of Mary Magdalene. For her to start the chapter on Christian Science practice with that story gives us a very important message. Because you know the story is about love and forgiveness. And Miscellaneous Writings has been deemed to be one of Mary Baker Eddy's most important books, next to the textbook itself. And the second article in there, beginning on page 8, is love your enemies. We know the story about Mary Magdalene, and we know, or we can certainly read and study, the article on love your enemies, and we know that Jesus, above everything else, emphasized love and forgiveness. When Peter cut the ear off of one of the soldiers that came to arrest Jesus, he said, "Put up thy sword, Peter," and he healed the ear. Dr. Albert Einstein, worldwide reputation of being a fine thinker and a man of accomplishment in the field of physics, he said, "Curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning." If we're going to get to the truth, which is the first quote in the textbook, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," that's the whole foundation. We don't have any foundation if we're not going to rely on a foundation of truth. It'll be like sand, building a sandcastle. At any moment, a wave could come along and wipe it out. Love is really giving. We're giving the benefit of the doubt to everyone and everything all the time. Forget about being attacked. Nothing that we could experience could be any more consistent or aggressive than the attacks against Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy, and yet they continue to love. So we only have one alternative, and that is, there is no alternative. There's no alternative. Either we're going to be having a model that's of value, and we're going to be checking our list, like the story of Christmas, check it twice. We're going to make sure that our thought is only on the things that are perfect and reflect the qualities of God. And we're going to live those qualities if we want to make steady progress. We're not going to be like the rabbit and the turtle in the race. The rabbit took off like wildfire, got tired and laid down and went to sleep. Meantime, the turtle walked right on by to the finish line. We don't need to start out fast. We need to start out steady. It's like the high school coach of the girls' running team. She said, "Don't pay attention to anyone else on the track. You're running not someone else's race. You're running your race." And she taught them how to do it. Don't give another thought to someone, whether they're behind you or to the side of you or in front of you. You run your race, and your race is reflecting perfection and nothing else. It's not competing with someone else. It's not trying to win a race against someone else. It is only trying to reflect the perfection of God. That is our duty. That is what infinite progression, his concrete being, is all about. In 1898, Mary Baker Eddy conducted her final class in the Metaphysical College. And in that metaphysical class, the last one, she gave 7 treatments, short treatments, to the class. 1, focusing on each of the 7 synonymous terms. I shall select 1 and read it as the closing of this prayer treatment. And after that, the only thing will be the time and the date of this treatment for easy record-keeping purposes. She named these prayers Diapason of Heaven, and I will recite one of them to you right now. Contemplating this for a moment, this prayer treatment has really focused on all of the 7 synonymous terms, but I'm going to recite to you 2 of the prayer treatments. one on spirit, and one on truth. Diapason of Heaven by Mary Baker Eddy on the second synonymous term for God, spirit. We must declare often that spirit is not an invisible personality inhabiting a material body. Spirit has no other meaning than God and substance. We must declare there is only one spirit, and that is God. Spirit is my God, and my God is spirit. Individual, incorporeal, immaterial, spirit is enthroned in my consciousness. Matter and personal sense are not enthroned. We must declare these statements for ourselves in our work. Diapason of Heaven, with a focus on the sixth term for God, truth, by Mary Baker Eddy. Truth is a sacred name for God. We must divest it of all materiality. Declare often, truth is my God, and my God is truth. Good is my truth, and my truth is good. Truth is enthroned in my consciousness. Error and materiality are not enthroned. This is the Word of God. Amen. That concludes the prayer treatment on the title of Guarding Thought, Stay on Track. Our model is the guide to truth. It is presently September 20, Saturday at 1708, and this is the end of this recording. Thank you for listening.